text that Eric read earlier today. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll be looking primarily at verses 1 through 14 this morning. Eric read the title that is given to this text in the New International Version, your Pew Bible, and it mentions or lists it as Elijah taken up into heaven, and indeed, that is such a central part to those verses. But I don't want to focus on that so much this morning. I want to focus on the journey that Elijah and Elisha took together. And as I was thinking about that journey, the thought came to my mind, you know, sometimes it's just hard to let go. Sometimes we just don't want people to leave. People who we've loved, who've cared for us, who have nurtured us. People who have taught us so much in our lives, have shaped our lives, have helped us along. Those people, you know, who have been generous in their spirit and generous with their time. Could be a mom or a dad, a big brother or a big sister. It could be a teacher, a coach, a pastor or a priest. It could be a grandparent. It can be a therapist. It can be a dedicated volunteer. People who have poured into our lives and have helped us along the way in our journey of life. People who have mentored us, perhaps people who have even discipled us. Sometimes it's just hard to let go. And sometimes we must leave them, you know. We graduate from school, we take another job in a different city, or simply we move on in our life. But sometimes they must leave us. Some of the hardest ones, I think, are when our role models, our mentors, are about to come to the end of their life. We don't want to let them go. We wonder what life will be like for us when they're gone. There's a lot going on in the text this morning, but I want to focus on the journey that these two men take together. You know, Elijah, that great prophet of the Lord. He's about to leave the world. His prophetic work has almost come to an end. He has stood up to the evil king Ahab and his wife Jezebel, the queen. He has faithfully throughout his ministry called Israel to reject the false god of Baal and return to worship only the Lord, the one true and living God, the Yahweh of Israel. There's Elijah. And then there's Elisha, right? Can be a little confusing at times, but Elisha is the one that God has chosen to succeed Elijah as the Lord's leading prophet for Israel. Elisha is anointed by Elijah and becomes his protege. He becomes his servant. You read about that over in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 19. It's only a brief mention in the text, and then Elisha doesn't show up again in the story until this journey that he and Elijah take together. It's Elijah's final journey, and he takes it with a rather insistent Elisha. Now, what's the point of this journey? The only thing that Elijah says to Elisha and to those of us reading it, the Lord has sent me. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of this text in the Message, just says, the Lord is sending me on an errand. Doesn't tell us why. And he's going to start in Gilgal, that's where they are, and he's going to move to Bethel. And then he's going to come back from Bethel to Jericho. And then he's going to cross the Jordan River and end up across the Jordan River. And Elijah never tells why the Lord has sent him on this journey, but the route that he takes is pretty revealing. As I said, he starts in Gilgal. Gilgal. That was the place that Joshua and the Israelites camped just after they had crossed the Jordan River, as they were first entering into the Promised Land. Gilgal lies just west of the Jordan. But the next thing Elijah does is then he goes further west. And you get the sense, as you heard the text being read, that he would prefer to go on this journey alone, but Elisha won't let him. He insists. And then Elijah allows. But he goes further west. Where's the next place he goes to? First it's Gilgal. Where do they go next? Bethel. We heard it over here. Yes, he goes to Bethel. Now, Bethel is a place of great spiritual significance for the people of Israel, dating back to the time of Abraham and the time of Jacob. But I think in this instance, we need to remember the place and the significance that Bethel plays in the story of Joshua, because Bethel is the place where Joshua and the people of Israel near Bethel regroup after their defeat at Ai. You remember the story of how it unfolds when the Israelites are coming into the Promised Land. They cross the Jordan. The waters are parted. They cross the Jordan. They camp in Gilgal. And from Gilgal, they go to Jericho and have this tremendous victory. And then after Jericho, they go to Ai. And there's been some sin in the camp, disobedience among God's people. Some idols and some wealth was hidden by Achan and his family. And they go to Ai, and they're defeated. And right away, Joshua and Israel's wondering, well, what's up? And the Lord reveals to them that there's been disobedience. You weren't supposed to take anything from the riches of Jericho. And so they have to deal with the sin of Achan and his family. And they regroup in near Bethel. And then the battle goes against Ai a second time, and they are successful. So Elijah, with Elisha insisting that he tag along, goes to Bethel. But when he gets to Bethel, then what Elijah does is he turns back and he heads east. Where does he go next? What's the text say? Where's the next stop? Jericho. So he goes from Bethel to Jericho, the site of the first great victory of the people of Israel when they entered the Promised Land. And he keeps going east after that, Elisha, with Elisha in tow. And then they go where? Where's the next stop? The Jordan River. And there at the Jordan River, Elijah takes his cloak and he strikes the waters of the Jordan River. And the two prophets, master and successor, Elijah and Elisha, cross the Jordan River on dry ground. Now, all along this journey, Elijah seems focused on preparing to leave this earth. He knows his time has come to an end. Elisha knows his time has come to an end. And there's these schools of prophets that were assembled in various parts of the nation of Israel. They also realize that Elijah's ministry is coming to an end. So Elijah's focused on what awaits for him personally. But Elisha insists on going with Elijah, suggesting that he's not quite ready to let Elijah go. He doesn't want to see him leave. He wants to stay with him throughout this journey. He wants his mentor, his role model, as we see in the description, when the chariots come and the horses come, he cries out, Father, Father. He wants his father figure to stay with him. He feels he still needs Elijah in his life. So what's the reason or what's the purpose of the journey? Well, remember the itinerary, right? Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan River is more or less, it's the same initial journey Joshua led the Israelites on when they first came into the Promised Land, only it's in reverse. As Joshua and Israel's destination was across the Jordan into the Promised Land, Elijah's route retraces Joshua's steps in reverse out of the Promised Land. But here's the good news for Elijah. He's not going to take the journey all the way back to Egypt. He gets just on the other side of the Jordan, east of the Jordan River. He's not going back to the land of slavery and the land of oppression. He's going to heaven. And he's going to the place where all the joy awaits him. And just before he's called up, east of the Jordan River, with Elisha and some school of the prophets, watching what's going on from a distance, Elijah asks Elisha what he can do for him before he departs from this earth. And here's where you see, I think, Elisha's starting to have a turn of heart. Or perhaps it's better said, a turn of confidence. He requests a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, part of what's going on here is the inheritance laws that were a part of ancient Israel, where the firstborn son was the primary heir of a father's estate. He was to receive twice as much as any other son born after him. But as the two prophets stand on the other side of the Jordan, Elisha realizes, I believe at this point, his task is not to try to hold on to Elijah, but his task was to carry on the mission and ministry of Elijah. As much as he wants Elijah to remain with him, he must not hold on. Rather, he needs to carry on. And I think Elijah knew that's what Elisha was looking for all along. And that was the reason for the journey. Because they retrace the steps of Joshua in reverse, end up on the east side of the Jordan River, the place where Moses died, right? So just like Moses blessed Joshua and died before entering the Promised Land, Elijah is going to bless Elisha so that he can re-enter the Promised Land with the strength and the assurance that just as God was with Moses and led the people of Israel out of Egypt by taking them through the Red Sea and parting the waters, just as God was with Joshua when the Ark of the Covenant comes up to the Jordan and the waters part and the people of Israel go into the Promised Land, just like that, God, it's the same God that is with Elijah that leads him across, he and Elisha across the Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan where Elijah then is called up into heaven. And that same God is the God who is with Elisha, who enables him to re-enter the Promised Land. And how does he do it? The story tells us the mantle, the cloak of Elijah falls to the ground when he's called up into heaven. Elisha picks it up and he says, "Where is Elijah's God?" And he strikes the waters with the cloak and the waters part. The God of Elijah is with Elisha. It's the same God. It's the same ministry. It's the same mission. Sure, he didn't want to let him go. But because he let him go, and in letting him go, he came to discover that the same God that empowered Elijah to do all that hard work was the same God that was upon him and would empower him to fulfill the mission and ministry that God had called him to do. It's the same God. And God wanted to remind Elisha that he's not alone in this. He's never alone. Those we love, those that mentor us, those that pour into our lives, gifts from God for us all. But even when they are taken home, we're not alone. We're never alone. You know, most transitions in life, I've come to believe, are hard. They just are. When they're accompanied by the loss of a loved one or the departure of a mentor that we have depended upon in our lives, they can leave us bewildered, they can leave us confused, they can leave us afraid. But the journey of Elisha and Elijah reminds us that in all the many transitions we go through in life, our God will never leave us. He'll never leave us. Whenever we are called, whether in life or ministry, to let go and carry on, God will be with us. God will be for us. And we can carry on because God's Word and the Holy Spirit assures us that our God is the one, the friend, who sticks to us closer than a brother. Our God, the Word assures us and the Spirit confirms to us, is the one who has promised to never leave us or forsake us. Imagine the transition those first disciples felt right before Jesus was called up in the ascension. It's recorded, one of the stories of it, in John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. And Jesus is about to leave the disciples joyful but confused, bewildered, and not altogether confident. And Jesus says, I give you the Holy Spirit to remind you that you're never alone, that God is with you, indeed will dwell in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the uncertain transitions in life, and even in those hard times when we are required to let go of someone we've loved, who has taught us, someone who has blessed us, you and I, we will carry on because we're not alone. Where is the God of Elijah? He's with you. He's with us. Thanks be to God.